He said there, if my words remain in you and you remain in me. So if you're not in him, it won't work for you. See, that's where we think Thurman done this. He told me he would never go to a doctor, so I'm going to stop taking my medicine. And you die. And you get to heaven, you say, God, I'm all upset. Thurman said, he said, well, Thurman was absolutely right because he was quoting me. But he says, you have not dwelt in me. He said, Thurman spends 10, 15, 20 hours a week in my word. You may spend 15 minutes a week in my word. So you're not dwelling in me, but he is. You see the difference? If you want these powerful things to work for you, you have to spend time with the King. You see what I mean? Now then, if you're spending time with God, then this scripture, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now let me back up just a few verses there to John 15:2, and I'm going to show you what happens when you don't abide in him. I want you to see this. This is very critical, very serious. And most people don't believe God will do this to you. But we see this awesome promise in John 15:7. But if we back up to John 15:2, look what he says. Every branch. Every branch in me. Are you a branch in Jesus?
Yes.
I am. But he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. Or he cuts you off. What does that mean? That means he'll kill you. What if you're a Christian, you're producing no fruit for the kingdom of God? You have no idea why you're sick and afflicted. But you go to church every Sunday, but you don't read the word during the week. You don't spend no time with God. That example I gave a while ago with a man and his wife. What if you marry a girl and you take her on a 3-day honeymoon and then you come home and you tell her, well, I'm going out on a business trip. I'll be back one day. And 30 days later, you show back up and you ain't called her, you ain't wrote her a letter or nothing for 30 days. You just fall in, come home and say, hi, honey, dinner ready? She says, who are you? I thought I married you last month, but I hadn't seen you in a month. So where have you been? Oh, well, you know, I had to go to Chicago. Then I had to go to New York for a while. What'd you do while you was up there? Oh, well, I got some old sweethearts that I used to hang around with up there. You know, so I went to bed with them while I was up there. You think that's going to fly? When we spend time with the world, God calls us spiritual prostitutes. That's what he calls us. And so when we're spending time with the world, I mean, you're too busy to get in the word. You're working like crazy to make a living or whatever. You're not putting God first, and you don't have time for your wife or your children or nothing else. You're out there in your job, and I mean, you're in your job, and you're not praying, not asking God for direction, for help. You're not seeking him for nothing. You're doing it all on your own, and then you wonder why after 10 or 20 years of that, you've been diagnosed with terminal cancer as a Christian. I can tell you why. Because you have been a spiritual prostitute. And God is fed up with it. And what he wants you to do, he wants you to repent and put him first. And when you repent and put him first, he will heal you. I've seen him do it. In fact, the scripture right here where I learned this was a good friend of mine 20 years ago that was terminal with brain tumors. I went to see him and I prayed over him. I did everything I knew to do. I could not get him healed. After I prayed for him on Monday all day, I took a whole day and drove 3 hours down to see him and prayed for him, anointed him with oil, done everything God told me to do. And on Thursday, then he died. And Sunday, I went back to it for his funeral. And after we buried him, on the way home, I said, Lord, you put me in the healing ministry. You're the one that's called me out to do what I do. And I've done everything I knew to do for this man, and this man did not get well. So I want to know what I did wrong, because I know you said you don't hear the prayer of a sinner. So, Lord, I must have done something, because I prayed over him and he died. I said, so what did I do wrong? I said, Lord, thank you for the answer. And I listened a minute or two and nothing I'd ask again. I asked that question over and over for 3 solid hours. I said, Lord, I'm not going away until I get my answer. I've got to know what I did that was wrong, why this man died instead of he lived. And he finally spoke to me and he said, son, you'll find the answer to the question you ask about this man in John 15:2. Now see, what I didn't tell you was this man, when I went down there, I met a woman and I found out this woman was his third wife and that they had been married for 10 years. They'd only been to church 6 times in 10 years. She didn't believe you had to go to church to worship God. Obviously, a lot of people today are just like that. We don't go to church regularly. We go to church once in a while when we feel like it. That's not what Jesus told you to do. He told you you're to put Him first in everything you do all the time as His children. And if He wasn't as merciful as He is, we would all be sick and dead already, every one of us. But He's so merciful and so kind to us. And so anyway, whenever the Lord showed me that John 15:2 was the answer, He said, every branch, He's a branch in me, but He said, every branch in me that produces no fruit, I cut it off. When I read that, I said, Lord, You killed Him. He said, yes, son, He bore no fruit, so I didn't need Him. So I took Him out. In other words, He would not obey me. You have no idea how many people in church today are dying prematurely because they're not producing fruit for the kingdom of God. It's scary. I mean, most people don't believe God will do this. But is it written? If it's written, that's what makes you sick, the Word of God. You know, I mean, people have a real problem believing that God would do this to us. But I didn't write the book. The book explains itself, doesn't it? Now, there's good and bad things in there. And so whenever the Lord said, and I cut Him off, I said, Lord, You killed Him. He said, yes, son, He produced no fruit for the kingdom, so I didn't need Him. So I took Him out. And then I said, Lord, it wasn't His fault. It was that woman. She was the one that kept Him out of church. The Lord said, son, I didn't put that woman in charge of the home. I put the man in charge of the home, and he's the one that disobeyed Me. So see, it's really awesome to think about these things and how they work. But when you begin to understand this and see this, then you'll understand this scripture that we're going to read here in Job 33:14. But God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. How does God speak to us? Usually through somebody else, doesn't He? He'd come up and say, sister, I hadn't seen you in church in the last 3 or 4 Sundays. Where have you been? Well, we went to the lake the last couple of Sundays, you know. It was such nice weather. I said, but you know, you need to be in church. Oh, well, you know, we'll come as soon as we can. So the next day or the next week, somebody else comes up and says, hey, sister, hadn't seen you in church in a while. Where have you been? Who do you think's sending all these people?
God.
Yeah, God. God is, it says there, and God speaks to us again and again, though people do not recognize it. We don't have a clue that's God sending somebody to talk to us. Or we see somebody that done something wrong. We go tell them, hey, you know, you done something wrong. I saw you eyeing that girl, or I saw you running around with another woman while you were out of town. I was in Chicago last week, and I saw you walking down the street with a girl, and I know you're married. And they say, judge not lest you be judged. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
They don't know the word very well, because God clearly tells us if we're walking obedient to His word and you see a brother sinning, you need to tell him to stop doing it. That's what God says. Then He says here, He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in bed. Now, how many's had dreams and visions? Almost everybody's had dreams, right? You have dreams almost every night. Some people do. He whispers in their ear and terrifies them with His warnings. He causes them to change their minds. He keeps them from pride. You know, most people, when they have one of those terrifying dreams at night, if they wake up in the middle of the night and say, I rebuke you, devil. Who sent that dream? It's the Lord. He sent that dream. Now, could He have sent a devil to do it to you? Oh, yeah, He could. He could be a devil. But God's behind it all. Said, He causes them to change their minds. He keeps them from pride. Verse 18 and 19. He keeps them from the grave. In other words, if you keep going the way you're going, it's going to bring you to the grave early. Who wants to die early? None of us. That's why we're here to a healing school. He said, and from crossing over the river of death. We don't want to go to the river of death. Or look what verse 19 said. God disciplines people with sickness and pain, with ceaseless aching in their bones. When you see somebody with cancer, where's that coming from? It's hard to stomach that's coming from God, isn't it? But He's disciplining us. He's giving us a spanking. He's getting our attention. Does the scripture say that God disciplines people? Is that what that says? So who do you have to be afraid of? God. Only the Lord. Only God. You be afraid of God? You put Him first. You read His word, study His word. Walk in love with His word, like He said, and the blessings He'll pour out upon you are absolutely out of this world.
Amen.
They're out of this world. I mean, if you walk in obedience to His word and do what He says, and you've hidden the word in your heart, you can walk in that hospital like I did with my grandbaby tore all to pieces. And every doctor say, it's impossible, she can't live. And even to the day they got ready to unplug her. When I walked up there and Dr. Davis, she was a beautiful, probably 38, 40 year old lady doctor, Christian lady too. She walked up to me and said, Thurman, we're fixing to unplug Caitlin. She said, you know when we unplug her, she's going to decease. I said, no ma'am, guarantee she ain't gonna die. She said, you are the only human being I've ever met in my life that absolutely refuses to accept reality. Well, it depends on where your reality is based. My reality was not based where hers was from. She had trained herself with her five physical senses. She knew what was going to happen. With the brainstem severed, she knew when we unplugged the machines, she's going to decease. There's not a chance, not one chance for her to live. But when you've trained yourself with the Spirit of God, and you know these promises of God, what did Jesus say I could ask for in John 15:7? What did he say? Do you think the king's big enough to do that, ma'am? Mine is, isn't yours? You got to stand with no doubt in your heart. It's difficult. Why in the world is so few people with all these promises, why are there so few of us ever see a miracle from God? Let's read a couple more verses here in this after God discipline. They lose their appetite and do not care for even the most delicious food. They waste away to skin and bone. Now, I just ask you, what does that sound like?
Cancer.
That sounds like cancer, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, is that what happens to people with cancer?
That's what happened to my parents.
Sure, that's what happens. Then he says, they are at death's door. The angels of death wait for them. I mean, God's telling you just like it is. I mean, how many times have I sat by the bedside of somebody before I learned these principles, not even knowing how to pray or nothing else, and watching somebody fixing to go into eternity, not realizing that the death angels are sitting there on the bed too, with me. Y'all see what I'm talking about? They're waiting for her or him to die. And when they die, they're going to take them wherever they're supposed to be going, to heaven or hell.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.